Oh, it's so good to be able to gather together on Easter Sunday morning. My name is Owen. I'm one of the pastors here at Emmaus, and we're so thankful that you're here. If you're part of our church family, if you're visiting from out of town or just in the area, we're really thankful that you're here. The Easter message this morning is going to be from Hebrews chapter 13. So if you have access to a Bible in front of you or on your phone, you want to pull that out. The book of Hebrews is very near the end of your Bible in that New Testament portion, and so if you'd like to go there, also the verses will be up here on the screen as well. So if that's helpful for you as we go along. Kids who are in the room, pre-K through sixth grade, Vacation Bible School is coming the first week of June, all right? And registration is open for Vacation Bible School already, so let your parents or grandparents or people next to you know that they can sign up for VBS. I believe registration is also open for Falls Creek for teenagers this summer, but you guys won't sign up until the last minute anyway, so it doesn't really matter. There's no reason to let you know just yet, but Falls Creek, Vacation Bible School, all that fun stuff that comes up in the summer. Also, kids, I don't know exactly how many donuts are left out there, but if you can make those donuts disappear after the service, that'd be really awesome. Just a gift to your parents and grandparents that you would you'd take those donuts with you. But if you're here as a guest, that QR code on the seat back in front of you, that'll give you access to a way to connect with us, but also some sermon notes if that would be of interest to you. Want you to be able to access those as we go along. Easter sermon today is based on the title, What's Next? What's next? What's next for my job? What's next for this relationship? What's next for my family or our world? What's next? Some of you are in here as seniors in high school. Some of you are entering retirement or empty nest stage, or you just look into the future and everything looks very blurry, very uncertain. God, what's next? And so I wanted to provide a couple of videos up front that might be helpful for you as you think about the question, what's next? What do I do next? So watch this first video and see if this is helpful for you. Okay, watch my band down here in the bottom right, all right? Here we go, bottom right. Oh, just took it right off the head down there. So key to T-ball, all right? First, don't be competitive. All right, stop it. Second key to T-ball is you teach them to run to first base, not third base, though it's really fun when they run to third base. And when you're the first baseman over there and just take it off the head, it's always nice. Okay, watch this next one. Another option here.
There you go. Go, go, go.
Straight up the middle. Oh, now watch this. Watch this. Oh. That dad was in so much trouble when he got home. Like, you know he was in so much trouble. Okay, so here, the next video, this is what some of you do when you don't know what to do next, all right? A man's in home run trot here, all right? Come on. No. No, get off. It's always funny when it's not your kid, all right? It's always funny when it's not your kid. Yeah, we made it. Okay. So some of you here, when you don't know what to do next in life, you just go into slow motion. Like, you just freeze, and you're like, if I can make this take forever, maybe I'll never have to make a decision. Maybe I'll never have to go. All right, the next one I really appreciate. Watch this next video here. Boom! Just took him out. All right, so some of you, when you don't know what to do next in life, you just get angry at everybody around you. Like, you're just going to, like, I'm just going to go take somebody out. When we think about this question, what's next, it's a question that driven people ask in life, always chasing another success, another experience, another sale, another promotion. People who are driven are always thinking about what's next. and this sense that maybe I haven't arrived, maybe there's more out there. There's a famous interview with Tom Brady where in legendary NFL quarterback, if the name Tom Brady doesn't land for you, but he's interviewed and asked about all this success that he's had, all the money that he's made, and Brady looks back at the interviewer and says, yeah, those things have happened, but there's got to be more, right? There's got to be more. Somebody like Tom Brady, all this success and still thinking, what's next? There's got to be more. Some people are just excited about the future. Like, yeah, what's next? I can't wait to find out what's next. But this morning, Easter Sunday morning, I really want to speak to you specifically. If you're at a place where the question, what's next, is a little bit scary to ask, you look into the future and it's uncertain, you feel stuck in life, you're not sure what's going to happen with your job, you're not sure what's going to happen with your health, you're not sure what's next for your family, you're here in a relationship and you don't know what's next with that relationship, or there's a relationship that's in the rearview mirror now and you've got to ask what's next, like where am I going, where's life going? The book of Hebrews in the New Testament part of your Bible is written to a church that's having to ask the question, what's next? Because of things going on in this church, there are people losing their house and their possessions. There's people losing their jobs. There's people in this church who are beginning to leave the church because they don't want to be connected, and this church is having to figure out what's going to happen next. There are people walking away from the faith. And there may be people in this room, when you think about what's next, you're having to determine, is that next going to include Jesus or not? Like, am I still connected to this faith, or am I going a different direction in life? And this morning, if you like to take notes, if it's helpful just to kind of know where a sermon's going, we have two realities, two truths that are given to us here at the end of Hebrews 13 that are guides for knowing what can I do next? What's next in my life? Number one comes from verse 20 in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. That verse says, now may the God of peace, this final prayer here in the book, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. Truth number one that I want you to hold on to for hope. Oh, hey, thanks you for that, man. You didn't have to do that. No, you're good. I figured I could maybe hold my notes and make that work, but truth number one is that God's peace saves and stabilizes us. As we think about the future, as we think about what God has for us next, we have to move into the future with the foundation of God's peace. And when you think about God in your life, peace may not be the first word that comes to mind that would describe God. We think about the God of anger. We think about the God of holiness. We think about the God of disapproval. We think about the God who says, get your life together. And all these bad ideas that we have, not the idea that holiness is bad, but we think about God in this very legalistic, out to get us sort of way. And here, at the very end of this book, we have the God of peace. And we live in a world that is obsessed with finding peace. We live in a world where people are always chasing peace, looking for peace. If you don't believe it, think about our buddy Po, the Kung Fu Panda. Like, anybody seen Kung Fu Panda 4? You know, inner peace, inner peace. Dinner, please. Dinner with peas and a soy sauce glaze. This little panda is searching for peace, meditating, trying to find peace. And most of us, our attempts to find peace just make us think about dinner. Like, that's about how far we get in our search for peace. We live in a world obsessed with finding peace. And what I would tell you this morning on Easter Sunday morning is you find peace from the God of peace. And how does God give his peace to us? He brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of his eternal covenant. Watch how that verse works. Brought again from the dead, that's Easter. The great shepherd of the sheep, we're going to see that that has to do with Jesus' burial as it prepares for the resurrection. The blood of the eternal covenant, what is that? The cross. Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, cross, burial, resurrection. That is where we find true peace. because we do not want to base our peace in life on our emotions. If your peace in life is based on the emotional roller coaster that most of us ride every day, there's not going to be a lot of peace that's found there. And if our peace is dependent on the circumstances of our life, then we're always chasing something. We're always thinking, if this would change, then I would find peace. And the great Easter message is that you can have peace right now. Full, complete, eternal peace because of Jesus. Because he has dealt with our deepest, greatest needs. He's dealt with our sin. He's dealt with the pain and loneliness and suffering we face in this world. And he has dealt with death. And we can have that hope. And if you're here this morning and you wonder, why does Easter matter? Like, why is this a big deal? It's because Easter is the pathway to peace. Peace now and peace forever. And so if you come into this room and you say peace is not the word that would describe my life right now, I've been searching for peace, I've been trying to make my peace with God, the good news is all you have to do is receive that peace. The God of peace pours his hope and love and life into your life through Jesus Christ, and we receive that by faith. That's the great news of Easter. Now, here's the really great part about this. This whole message that's going on here in verse 20, if your phone in front of you is like flashing neon colors or your Bible feels hot to the touch, it's because there's some really cool things going on in this verse. And I know it's Easter morning, and so we're supposed to keep things simple, but you're at Emmaus, and we love to make these connections in our Bible and see how these things connect together. So if you would give me just a minute, I want to take this verse, and I want to show you everything that's going on, or at least some of what's going on behind the scenes, because I think it paints this really beautiful picture of what's happening here. So here's the first connection I want you to make, okay? If you like to write in your Bible, write out to the side of verse 20, Isaiah 63:11. Okay? We're gonna draw some Old Testament connections, tie it to what's said here in the book of Hebrews, and I think you'll get a better picture of what's going on. Isaiah 63:11. Then the Lord remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he? Where is this God who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? When you think about this idea that God brought up from the dead the Lord Jesus, where do you find that connection in the Old Testament? It's when he brought his people up out of the sea, took them through the dry land, through the waters, and he did that through his shepherd Moses. And what he did in the Old Testament, by Moses leading the people through the water, through the Exodus, he is bringing to perfect fulfillment in the New Testament through Jesus. Moses is that shepherd of salvation in the Old Testament. Jesus is the perfect, final, better shepherd of salvation who brings his people not just through the water, but through the grave into eternal life. Now watch this next part. Zechariah chapter 9. Again, right out to the side of verse 20 if you like to write in your Bible. Zechariah, that's one of those books in the Old Testament that would take a while to find, but Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation as he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. If that verse sounds familiar, that's the Palm Sunday verse from last week. So this idea that Jesus, on the final week of his life, is entering into Jerusalem, and he comes as the king, humble and riding on a donkey. So he doesn't come as the military king. He comes for a different purpose. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. So this is not a military king coming into the city. The battle bow shall be cut off and he shall speak peace to the nations. Okay, here's this king in Zechariah who's going to come in and bring peace. How is he going to bring peace? Verse 11, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Where have we seen blood of the covenant language? It was in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. This idea of what Jesus has done in bringing the covenant of God that will set the people free. The people were sent into exile. They were sent away from the promised land. They were sent out into the wilderness, and they will be called back by a king who will bring peace through the blood of the covenant. Does that sound like anybody to you? It does to me. That's the message of Easter. That's the work that Jesus has done. So go back to verse 20 in Hebrews chapter 13. What's going on here in verse 20? May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that's the Easter story, and our Lord Jesus, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. That's the Exodus story from the Old Testament, and it happens by the blood of the eternal covenant. That's the exile story in the Old Testament. The two great times in the Old Testament where God saves his people out of water and out of wilderness, that is brought to fulfillment through the Easter story with Jesus. Man, the Bible's incredible. It's so beautiful the way these pictures of salvation are brought. So what's the first point this morning that I want you to remember? God's peace will save and stabilize your life. The Easter story says that what you need before you move ahead, before you move forward in life, before you ask the question, what's next, what you need right now is peace. And that peace comes when your sins are dealt with, when the power of death is taken away, when we are able to rest in the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do not settle in this life for partial peace, for temporary peace, for worldly peace, because the story of Easter puts before you a way of peace that lasts forever. It goes beyond your emotions and beyond your circumstances, and it is possible because of Jesus. And so if you come into this room obsessed and worried about what's next in my life, begin with today, that there's a God of peace who gives you peace through Jesus Christ. Rest in that. Trust in that. Receive that. If that's not true in your life, the best step that you could take is just, I need to talk to somebody about that. Is that, why do I not have peace? Why do I keep searching after peace? What am I looking for in life? And that you would be able to turn back and look to Jesus. Here's the beauty. When you have that peace, though, it doesn't stop there. When you have that peace, that stability in life, when you experience that salvation, we are saved in order to be able to continue moving forward. So look at verse 21 in your Bible. Look what happens. What does this God of peace do? What's God's peace supposed to lead toward? Verse 21, that this peace will equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why do we have the God of peace? Because this God of peace will equip us to do his will. The God of peace will empower you and work in your life so you can continue to move ahead. Because sometimes we start to ask this what's next question. What's next with my job, with this relationship, with my family? And some people are prone to just get stuck on that question. And it becomes paralyzing. It becomes debilitating. You just find yourself like that little dude running home, like you're just moving slowly through life. Or some people, when they get nervous about the question, what's next, they get mean and grumpy, and they take it out on everybody else. They take it out on everybody else around them, and they miss that the God of peace is there to equip. Now, that word equip is a beautiful New Testament word to do a word study on. I would encourage you to make a connection between that word in verse 21 of Hebrews 13 and 1 Peter 5 in your Bible. 1 Peter 5:10 in your Bible is a verse that says that after we have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will restore, strengthen, confirm, and establish us. What's the imagery here of this idea of equip that God will prepare you? Here's the imagery for this idea of equipping. So take a boxer, take a boxing match that's happening. So couple people in there fighting out the round. The bell sounds. You go back to your corner. Some of you feel like most days are like a boxing match. Many of us, the boxing match every day is we fight ourselves. We battle ourselves in our minds, and we're battling people around us. But you're in this boxing match. You go to the corner. You get the water. You get the towel. You get the mouthpiece cleaned out. You're prepped up. You're equipped, restored, prepared for what purpose? To get back in the fight. And some of you on Easter Sunday morning need to get back in the fight. Like, that's the message, is the God of peace wants to equip you and strengthen you and prepare you to do his will, to move forward. Point number two, I've already repeated it, it's up there. God's power strengthens and guides us. Now, as you think about this idea of how God strengthens and guides us in life, he does it through his word. He does it through prayer. He does it as we grow and remember the good things he's given us there. And then we begin to say, is there any chance, Pastor, that you could be a touch more specific here? Like, I have really big decisions to make in my life. Like, you're here this morning, and what's next is not a hypothetical question. You've got to make decisions about jobs. You've got to make decisions about relationships. You've got to make decisions for your family, and you really need to know, what is God's will for my life? Like, what am I supposed to do next? And what I'm going to say next could be very frustrating, but my hope is it will be very liberating and encouraging and life-giving to you. When you look at the Bible and you do a study on understanding God's will, very, very infrequently, very rarely does it say anything about individual decision-making. It almost always talks about the type of person you're becoming. It talks about your character. It talks about faithfulness. Between services, someone came up to me and gave me a phrase for this that I'm pretty sure I'll never forget, because it brought into a couple of words what I wanted to say. If you want to know God's will for your life, it begins with who, not do. Okay? It begins with who am I becoming? What type of person am I? Not necessarily what individual decision I need to make right now. Because you go to Romans chapter 12 in your Bible, and you find out the way to know God's will is, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. So how can I know God's will for my life? How can I know what to do next in life? Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but change the way you're thinking. Think about things that bring honor to God. Be a person of prayer. Put God's word into your mind. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What is God's will for his people in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? It's sexual holiness, sanctification, purity. You want to know God's will for your relationship? You want to know God's will for your life? What do you do with your body? How do you handle your body? How do you treat people around you? It starts there. That's God's will for your life. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What does it say about God's will for your life? It says, pray continually, rejoice always, give thanks in all things. And you're like, well, that's not helpful. So I'm supposed to pray, I'm supposed to rejoice, I'm supposed to give thanks, and then I'll know God's will. Yes, absolutely. Because as you live a life fully devoted to the Lord, he will work in you in such a way that he will lead you forward. Who you become becomes the foundation for knowing what you are being called to do. And here's the secret sauce to this, okay? Look in verse 22. Here's how this begins to actually flesh itself out. This is how you take that next step. Verse 22. The author says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, speaking about the whole congregation, I appeal to you, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Now, this verse right here is kind of a great gift to preachers, because up there on the screen, the word of exhortation, that phrase, that's the term for an ancient sermon, okay? So if they were going to talk about a sermon, they would call it a word of exhortation. And what are the people supposed to do? They are supposed to bear with, or put into more, you know, normal language, put up with. So I have succeeded as a pastor if you're able to put up with my sermons. That's it. Like, that's what, if you'll just put up with it, if you'll just continue to hear the word of God. And notice what the preacher says. He says, I have written to you briefly, which means I would like to point out that the book of Hebrews takes around 50 minutes, 45 to 50 minutes to read, which means, according to the Bible, a brief sermon is 45 to 50 minutes. No comments, all right? You have, like, anything that comes in underneath 45 and 50 minutes is a brief sermon according to God's word. So just take that, use that as you will. I'm going to take advantage of that, for however I can do that. Here's the reality of this verse. Here's how this verse is helpful. If you need to know God's will for your life, if you need to know what's next in your life, what you need are people who will speak the word of God into your life. If you want to know what to do next in life, what step to take, how do I find God's will, what am I supposed to be doing, find people who will exhort you, who will encourage you, who will come around and comfort you. They'll put their arm around your shoulder and say, hey, I'm with you. And people who will put their hand in your back and say, let's get going. We are not going to stay stuck right here. You have peace because of God, and he is at work in your life, giving you power, and we are going to move ahead. Look at verse 23 and 24 there. How does this happen as part of the church? You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. God's peace will save and stabilize your life. God's power will strengthen and guide you as you move forward. He will equip you. He will strengthen you. And he will use the church to encourage you to keep going. If you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to know what's next, I can guarantee you one thing. It will include the church. It will include brothers and sisters in Christ who are around you, caring for you, encouraging you to move forward. It's so easy to come up with reasons not to be connected to the church. And there are real reasons. You've been hurt in the past. You're frustrated with the church. You're disappointed in the church. You've had bad church experiences. But I can tell you, according to God's word, as you think about moving ahead in your life, you need brothers and sisters in Christ around you. You need a church family to gather with. You need people to speak the word of God into your life so that you would have the peace and the power through Jesus to move forward. So the question is, how do you get reconnected with church? How do you begin to prioritize this? What does this look like in your life? Well, let me give you a couple of things that would be helpful here at Emmaus. Not saying that Emmaus is where you would connect. You may be visiting from somewhere else, or this may not be the right fit for you. Completely understand. But let me give you some next steps to take for connecting here at Emmaus. First Sunday of every month, we have what's called the Discover Emmaus Guest Brunch, okay? And by brunch, I mean whatever the pastor picks up at Walmart on the way to church that morning, okay? So it's not super impressive. Don't emphasize the brunch part. Emphasize the Discover Emmaus. This is the step to take if you think, I just need a place to start. What's going on at this church? It's been a long time since I was involved in church. I'm not even sure I want to do this, but I just need to take a first step. I need to get myself out of neutral. I need to get moving forward. This is a good place to start. First Sunday of every month. Second Sunday of every month, we have the new members class. This is when you say to yourself, I've been sitting here for too long, I need to get connected. I need to be held accountable. I need to get plugged into what's going on. Be so careful if you find yourself caught between churches. You're at one church, it didn't work out, you're moving, or you're trying to get reconnected to church. It's so easy to get caught in between and never get connected, never get plugged in. You might be here this morning, and what's next in your life is, I need to get plugged into a church. My kids need this. Our marriage needs this. We need this as a family. Third Sunday of every month is what we're going to call Basics of the Faith class, okay? Every third Sunday, every month, out in the lobby, this is open to everybody. You don't have to be a Christian. You can be a member of Emmaus. You can be a guest. It doesn't matter. This is an opportunity if you say, I have a ton of questions about the Bible. Like, I try to fake it and pretend like I know what's in the Bible, but let's be honest, I really don't. And there's a lot of questions I have about my faith and about theology, and I just need a place to start. I need a place to ask some of those basics, learn some of the very ABC foundational parts of the faith. third Sunday of every month, we're going to be out there in the lobby. And we would love for you to come and be a part of that and be encouraged and be trained up in some of those basics. Here's the question as we wrap up this morning. As we think about Easter Sunday, here's my question for you. What is your next step spiritually that you need to take? What does God have for you? What is he calling you to do? The message of Easter this morning is that because of Jesus, you have peace that you can rest. Whatever might come down the road, you have peace. And if you don't know that peace in your life, if you've never trusted in Jesus for salvation, your step this morning is probably that you would just be willing to ask someone questions about that. That you would say, you know what? I've kind of put Christianity at a distance. I've tried not to think about my spiritual life. I've pushed this off for a long time. And I need to deal with my relationship with God. I need to determine, what do I believe about this? Where do I find peace in life? And your next step would be, I'm going to reach out to someone. I'm going to take that step toward following Jesus. You may be here this morning and you need to reconnect with church. You've come up with every excuse possible not to be connected to church. You got hurt, you got pushed away, you got disappointed. And in order to move forward in your Christian faith, you need to reconnect with the people of God. And God's calling you to do that. It might look like baptism, it might look like church membership, it might just mean, I just need to be here, I need to get involved. I need to see what God wants to do in my life. And you may be here this morning, this is the last one, and you've just felt stuck. And you felt dry, and you're just barely hanging on spiritually right now. But you came here for Easter because you knew this is where you wanted to be and where you needed to be. And God's saying, I'm going to equip you and strengthen you and empower you to move forward, to do my will that I have called you and created you to do. And if that's the case, as we wrap up this morning, I hope you will make that commitment. Whatever's next in your life, it will include God's peace and God's power. Let's bow our heads. God, I know there are a lot of people here this morning who have big decisions to make in life. They're trying to navigate careers. They're trying to figure out dating relationships, marriages, kids, friendships. They're working through all these questions. How do we know what's next? And God, I pray that when they leave this morning, they would leave first knowing that they have peace with you. God, we are people desperate for peace. And we know true peace comes through Jesus. And so, God, no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens in the future, we have peace with you through Jesus. And at the same time, we know there is tomorrow to be lived. And there's career decisions to make, and there's family decisions to make, and we want to move forward. We need to move forward. And we believe that you will equip us to do that. You will give us everything we need to do your will. You will surround us with the people of God to encourage us. And God, we are here this morning on Easter Sunday morning to say, we want to do your will. We want to live for you. We want to move into the future to bring glory to you so other people would know how good you are. God, empower us to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.